another Call of Duty 2020 rumor, and more coming up on today's episode of Lace and Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is Lace and Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that follow button right now so that you don't miss out on the next episode. We do this daily around here, and it's also a live show back on Mixer. So, full details over at mixer.com/tech news gadget. But as always, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to hit that like button and leave a comment. But when you get to a part of the show that you actually like, and if you're listening via podcast, hope you're having a great time doing whatever it is you're doing, because you're listening to me and you're going about your day. That's usually what I do. Usually how I'm listening to podcasts is I'm in the middle of doing something, and then I actually want to sit and listen a little bit and then do something else and then come back and then listen to the rest of it. So yeah, exciting news on the podcast front. If you head on over to podcastawards.com right now, the slate has been announced. And yes, the latest in tech news is one of the top 10 finalists chosen for the technology category. Unbelievable. So I appreciate all of you guys who nominated the show for an award out at the Podcast Awards. Out of like 3,000 shows, only 300 were picked. And I'm not sure what went on behind the scenes or if it was based on nomination count or what have you, but I'm super excited for everybody. I appreciate all of you putting time and effort in. How the voting slate will work is 3,000 individuals will be picked at random, and I'm trying to glean this as best as I can, who nominated the shows to be chosen, and you will be sent an email. That email, I guess, will contain instructions for how to vote for the shows that you are going to nominate for an award. So if you happen to get one of those emails in the next couple of weeks, head on over to the technology section, and if you enjoy the latest in tech news, please, please, please vote for us. We're up against some pretty stiff competition, some longtime podcasters. Actually, the first podcast that I ever started listening to, the School of Podcasting, Dave Jackson, we're up against him and a couple other really big names in the podcasting world in terms of technology. So go ahead, and if you happen to get that email, vote for us. Latest in tech news in the technology category. Super excited, and we should hear about the voting results shortly. So also, we have a giveaway going on right now over at technewsgadget.net/giveaway. Full details are there. Here's all I'm going to say, a $50 Steam gift card. Full details, like I said, can be found over at technewsgadget.net/giveaway. Giveaway ends the end of August. So obviously, if you're listening to this in the future, you missed it, and a winner was picked and chosen. And if it wasn't you, better luck next time. And if it was, I hope you enjoyed your gift. So on the docket for today, we have a couple of stories, actually a whole bunch of them. Apparently, there's a rumor floating around for the 2020 Call of Duty version. There's a rumor that we'll be covering a little bit. Also, we'll be looking at Phil Spencer doesn't believe in your console war. We'll be getting into that. Also, we'll be taking a look at Epic Games hit with a class action lawsuit over a hacked Fortnite accounts. Speaking of another hack, security researcher develops a lightning cable that gives hackers a way to remotely infiltrate your computer. Speaking of, another one, gadget news, researchers hacked a Canon DSLR with Bitcoin demanding ransomware. We'll be getting into that. It's kind of funny, so I wanted to cover that. Also, the iPhone 11 Pro might be the high-end offering in Apple's 2019 lineup, if you deem it worthy to be out there to buy the next iPhone. It's going to cost you a pretty penny, but by golly, you're going to have fun with it. And finally, we'll be taking a look at Microsoft canceling the super-duper graphics pack for Minecraft. But before we can get into all of that, did you know that the Nintendo Wii's motion control technology was presented to both Microsoft and Sony and turned down before it was presented to Nintendo? Well, that's true. According to reports, Microsoft and Sony were rude to the creators of the tech even during the presentation and rejected the idea of it outright for use in their games. And Nintendo went, Sure, why not? So, in case you're wondering, that's where the Wii went. Wii! And with that out of the way, let's head on over to today in tech history. All right, today is August 12th, 2019. On this day in 1981, IBM introduces its first personal computer, the IBM PC model 5150. IBM originally intended this model to be a stopgap computer that would allow them to quickly tap into the emerging personal computer market while taking the time to develop a real PC. It was developed in under a year by a team of 12 with the goal of rapid release to market. Therefore, this team was allowed to work outside of the normal IBM development process and use whatever off-the-shelf components allowed for the quickest development. This overriding goal of developing something as quickly as possible had monumental unintended consequences for IBM and the computer industry as a whole that are still being felt to this day. For example, by compromising quality for rapidity, the design of the IBM PC forced software programmers to resort to inelegant methods of software development, so compatibility issues abounded. And Steve Jobs is actually quoted in a 1985 interview saying, "If IBM wins, my personal feeling is that we are going to enter some sort of a computer dark age for about 20 years. Now, while IBM themselves didn't win, the creation that they lost control of was the clear market winner for approximately the next 20 years. Many will argue that this time was, in fact, a dark age for the home computer, but no one could have predicted that on this day in 1981. Also, on this day in 1960, Echo 1, the world's first communication satellite, was launched. Technically, Echo 1 was a passive reflector as communication signals were bounced off of it rather than retransmitted as modern satellites do today. And finally, on, well, this day in tech history, well, nothing really because it's August 12th. And man, I'm still looking at the PC. I'm thinking here, the IBM 5150 was the first, was this the first computer that I grew up with using? No, probably not, but it was an IBM of some sort, and yes, it had the whole floppy disk drive. So, with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. Alright, so, Call of Duty rumor floating around already has fans buzzing about the 2020 game. Now, the reboot nature of this falls Call of Duty Modern Warfare will be continuing into 2020, in case you're wondering, according to rumors that gathered traction in social media and the game's press this weekend. As described, the game will be either Call of Duty Black Ops 5 or simply Call of Duty Black Ops, but it will be set in the Cold War era and include the Korean and Vietnam Wars in its stories. The first Call of Duty Black Ops took place between 1961 and 68 and intersected with the major military actions and political intrigues of that time. Now, the rumor comes from YouTube insider Long Sensation, and it's salient because they previously leaked the correct name of Call of Duty Modern Warfare before it was officially revealed, and it kind of aligns earlier with a more in-depth report by Kotaku that said development on Call of Duty 2020, which was supposed to have been a Sledgehammer Games Raven software collab, wasn't really going so well. Treyarch is described as stepping in and moving up the next Black Ops game, which would ordinarily be expected in 2021. Although Call of Duty Black Ops is the same title as a 2010 shooter, there isn't much of a player base either to confuse or cannibalize with a decade-old throwback title. Going back to the Cold War setting would also justify a reboot branding similar to what's been going on with this year's No Frills name for Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Now, it's the described as even more gritty and gruesome than Modern Warfare, that's kind of intriguing and sparking rumors going on. We don't know exactly what this means because Modern Warfare doesn't launch until October 25th, but we do get that pre-release beta test next month. Activision has, well, kind of fig leafed this M-rated franchise's appeal for teenagers for years, and kids still get their hands on things a ton more violent. But all we need is, more of that happening. And might have drama re-erupt again, but I don't know. We'll find out. What do you guys think? Are you already looking forward to next year's Call of Duty Black Ops? For those of you who like the Black Ops games, let me know down in the comment section if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching the live show via Mixer. What are my thoughts on it? Well, don't know. I think I'm more of a Modern Warfare kind of guy, because I played Black Ops and I'm like, I don't really know. I mean, it's kind of fun and all. Do I want to play Black Ops? I don't know. My favorite memories of the Modern Warfare series was me running around with the Killstreak perk, drop a grenade, or whatever that was called. Whenever you died, a grenade was dropped. Like, you immediately dropped a grenade and it blew up. I would use to run into rooms of four guys or more and then just let them shoot me. And then I'd clear a whole room that way. And I'd say, okay, team, we're clear. And sure enough, you push them back. So that's my thoughts on it. Don't really have much to say other than the trailer for Modern Warfare definitely was intriguing. So maybe I'll go take a look at that first and then determine if I want to do Black Ops or Black Ops 5 or whatever it's going to be called in next year's release. With that, well, basically covering up the feature story, let's head on over to the next article we got. All right. Well, Phil Spencer doesn't believe in your console war, and this is an interesting article. I wanted to get to it. By the way, if you're wondering, hey, where do I go to find all the articles you talked on today's show? Head on over to technewsgadget.net, and there you can, well, click on the show name, and all the article links will pop up for your viewing pleasure. Now, with Sony sitting out E3 2019, the common held opinion was that this would be Microsoft's show to win. But according to Xbox head Phil Spencer, during an exclusive interview with GameSpot that took place after E3, really isn't interested in pitting Xbox against PlayStation at the show, nor does he think the fan-fueled rivalry between the two companies does anyone any good in general. He agrees that Sony and Microsoft compete on a technology level, but rejects the notion that there's a mean-spirited undercurrent spearheading that drive. To him, business isn't sport. It's different. If anything signposts the mutual spirit of cooperation that Spencer is talking about, it's E3. The ESA, where Spencer sits on the board of directors, is a driving force behind the event, and it regularly rallies the likes of Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo to work together towards making opportunity as impactful as possible for all. It's a coordinated effort with far-reaching goals, and from his point of view, the absence of booths from both Sony and big-name publishers is simply a detriment. I see it as we should all be there. He told GameSpot, we should all be showing our best. I'm not alone in sharing that. All of us who are on the ESA board kind of aspire to have an E3 where everybody feels like they can be there and show up. I'd say the same thing about EA not being there with a booth, and say the same thing about Activision. It's not specifically calling out Sony. I think we want to create an E3 where all of the gaming companies feel like it's worth their time. Gamers love coming there and celebrating their love of gaming. So, what Spencer is essentially saying, to recap, is that while E3 is a major opportunity for everyone involved, it's also a jumping-off point for big-picture opportunities down the road. One not-so-small example, Minecraft. Us being a big publisher of Minecraft on these platforms, the longer that goes on successfully for both of us, whether it's been Sony, Nintendo, whatever, it lessens that friction, might not be the best word, but it lessens the, hey, are these people well-intentioned in what they're doing? Good intentions among competitors is one thing, but gaming has always struggled to portray itself as an industry with good intentions to misinformed onlookers and legislators. As gaming continues to grow in influence and profit, it's only natural that target continues to shift with the times. Here too, Spencer thinks that joining together is the only way to ensure a future for all. As an industry, with crossplay and some of the external kind of, say, threats to the gaming business like loot box legislation, World Health Organization stuff, these things are coming together to make sure that we've got a good constructive point of view on our art form and what it means in society. And I think all that is just part of us as an industry knowing that the biggest competitor we have is actually not each other. So, article goes on to explain more, but yeah, then he set the pace for Microsoft's future when discussing the future of Xbox at E3, specifically the upcoming console known currently by its codename Scarlet. Scheduled to ship during the holiday 2020 release window, Scarlet is purported to be four times as powerful as the Xbox One X. According to Spencer, this power may be used in ways you didn't expect. Likewise, he's also spoken to GameSpot about the xCloud gaming service xCloud, and touched on a very different approach Phil Harrison is taking Google Stadia's service. So, obviously the article goes on for a while. But with that, any thoughts on that? Sure to let me know. My thoughts are, well, I really didn't see it as a big I kind of agree with him. I didn't really see it as a problem. I mean, I was frustrated when all these games kind of came out on all these different consoles or were exclusive to one console, and I have friends who have either all the consoles or they only have one, and I'm like, all I want to do is be able to play with my friends. That's the whole community aspect of it. Like, I want to be able to play with them on whatever platform. Who cares what platform it's on? Just I want to play with my friends. How difficult is that to do? And apparently it's really difficult. Apparently, if, you know, you can't quite understand this gaming industry. But that's all I'm going to say on that. And we'll head on over to the next story. All right. Well, for those of you who didn't know, Epic Games was hit with a class action lawsuit over hacked Fortnite accounts. And kind of wanted to cover this because it's kind of slightly disturbing. Now, Epic Games is facing a class action lawsuit following a data breach which exposed personal information from millions of users' accounts. The data breach occurred back in January of this year, when hackers found a flaw in Fortnite's login system, allowing them to impersonate players and purchase V-Bucks with the bank information attached to their accounts. The graphic below, made by Bleeping Computer, illustrates how hackers were getting into the players' accounts. So, number one, the attacker sends victim a malicious link. The victim clicks the link to the login page. Epic Games make a request for an SSO token. The malicious JavaScript, the page then redirects to the attacker's malicious URL. Seems very common here. 5, malicious JavaScript resends request for token. And 6, the token is sent to the attacker. According to Polygon, a lawsuit has been filed in the U.S. District Court in North Carolina on behalf of more than 100 class members. They're claiming Epic failed to maintain adequate security measures and notified users of the security breach in a timely manner. But this seems like a very simple solution to this, quote, breach by millions of player accounts. If you don't recognize the email, if it's asking you to click a link and then log in, be very, very wary of it. Don't give out your information. That's called phishing. If you click on the link and you click the login button and you log in, well, that's how they get your information. So, one of the more legitimate arguments against the Epic Games Store has centered around a company's security issues, and while the problems along this data breach have been since fixed, perhaps the lawsuit will serve as a motivation it needs to continue to keep its service secure. Hopefully they'll figure that out and wake up to that. All right, speaking of more hacking news, a security researcher named MG has developed a lightning cable replacement that can give hackers a way to remotely access your computer, according to Motherboard. The cables in question are cables directly from Apple that have been opened to allow for additional components to be implemented, but the modifications are undetectable and there's really no way to distinguish the hacked cable from the original. When plugged into a target computer, the cable behaves as a typical cable does, connecting to and charging iOS devices, but it also lets hackers remotely connect to a machine to run commands. It comes equipped with scripts and commands that a hacker can run on a victim's machine, along with tools to kill the USB implant to hide evidence of its existence. So, it's like being able to sit at the keyboard and mouse of the victim, but without actually being there. In a test with Motherboard, MG was able to connect his phone to a Wi-Fi hotspot that the cable was emitting. He said that he needed to be within 300 feet to access the target machine, but also said that the cable can be configured to act as a client for a nearby wireless network, potentially allowing for hacking from unlimited distances. So MG imagines the cable could be swapped in for a target's legitimate cable or gifted to someone because it looks exactly like an Apple cable, complete with accurate packaging. Each of these cables were made by hand and are being sold by MG for $200, but he's teaming up with a company to produce them as a legitimate security tool. So he's not doing it for the intention of being able to hack a whole bunch of people. It's not clear if there's any defense against this kind of hack, but it sounds like these cables are prohibitively expensive and limited in availability at the current time. Those concerned should buy cables directly from Apple without accepting free cables from anyone or buying them online from places you're not quite familiar with. Apple may also be developing a mitigation and has previously restricted other USB access techniques through USB restricted mode. Oh, but not to be outdone, we got more into hack news going on. Essentially feels like a hack job, except this one's kind of... I had to cover this. This looks funny. Researchers hacked a Canon DSLR with Bitcoin demanding ransomware. And in case you're wondering, we got a photo to go along with it. Yes, if you're listening to the podcast, we do this as a live show on Mixer and a YouTube show later over at youtube.com/technewsgadget. We're looking at photo right now of a DSLR that have been encrypted. So Bitcoin demanding ransomware knows no bounds and the latest potential victim, well, DSLR cameras. A group of security researchers have managed to exploit vulnerabilities in a Canon EOS 8D digital camera to hold its owner's photos hostage to a Bitcoin ransom, the Inquirer reports. No, I don't play no stinking video. I don't know why you decide you want to play video. The researchers from cybersecurity firm Checkpoint Research exploited the camera's picture transfer protocol, a piece of software typically used to transfer image from the device to a computer. Many modern cameras can transfer images over a Wi-Fi connection. This is formerly known as, well, PTP/IP. Now, while it is a useful feature if you're always forgetting USB cables, it presents a valuable attack vector for hackers. As Checkpoint Research points out, PTP is an unauthenticated protocol and can support dozens of complex commands. And as such, it can be abused by hackers to inject malicious code onto unsuspecting cameras. In this particular exploit, researchers were able to inject a ransomware program over Wi-Fi to encrypt the camera's storage. All that remains after the attack is a message on this camera screen with a ransom note that demands Bitcoin for the safe return of the owner's files. And they actually have a YouTube video so you can watch exactly how it happened right here for your viewing pleasure. Indeed, while this might seem shocking, the reality that hackers will have much success with this particular exploit is slim. Wi-Fi-based PTP is usually a last resort for photographers compared to putting the camera's SD card directly into your computer. Transfer speeds are really, really slow over wireless. Researchers made Canon aware of the vulnerability earlier this week, and Canon subsequently released a patch for the firmware last week and issued a security advisory notice. It's not known if this hack would work in other cameras, but figured I'd share the story because I thought it was kind of funny. All right, we got some gadget news. The iPhone 11 Pro might be the high-end offering in Apple's 2019 lineup. Oh, and look at the picture. We might see the Apple adopting the Pro naming convention for the fanciest iPhone in its 2019 lineup. An anonymous Twitter account that correctly leaked the names of last year's iPhone XS, XS Max, and XR suggested that we'll see an iPhone 11 Pro when Apple unveils its offering next month, according to Mac rumors. Phone or Pro for iPhone? Crazy naming schemes over the past few years. Mac rumors noted that it also got a tip that the previously reported triple rear camera iPhone would be called the iPhone 11 Pro. The trio of new phones could be called the iPhone 11, 11 Pro, and 11R, CNET sister site ZDNet suggested. Apple didn't immediately respond to a request for a comment, but we'll know for sure come September.
Oh man,
have they forgot what you call it?
Oh no, is it a Pro? They should have called it a Plus. You know, the plus sign? What are you guys doing? Like, hello? Marketing people, I tell ya.
And for our last article, we got some gaming news for you guys. I know I'm like, I had to share this one too because it was funny. Back at E3 2017, Microsoft, and throughout, you guys got a update your title for Microsoft, showed off what was going to be the next major update for Minecraft, called the Super Duper Graphics Pack. The update would significantly improve the visual assets of the game and add a new dimension to the blocky universe. Now, here's where it gets good. Unfortunately, the graphics pack has been canceled and will never be released. Posting on the Minecraft blog, Microsoft has indicated that the update is, quote, too technically demanding to implement as planned and has since been canceled. Further, the company says they were not happy with the performance across devices for this update, leading it to being scrapped. Considering this pack was announced as a way to kind of showcase the power of Scorpio, which turned out to be the Xbox One X, and that it will now never see the light of day, it's kind of disappointing, a little bit of an understatement. I didn't really expect anything different. Why don't you guys use mods that the community uses because you guys can't figure out how. Oh, wait, you rip those off and you make them as your own, right? That's how you do it. That's how it's always been done. Okay, the community has you covered on this, Microsoft. There are mods out there in existence currently already that boost the performance of it, but it's PC only. It's been done already. Now, for those of you wondering, this update would have brought to Minecraft features such as volumetric lighting, enhanced water and reflective textures, dynamic shadows, edge highlighting, and a whole lot more. Big problem here was probably it was a project that simply took too long to develop for low-end consoles. But when you look at what the features the update would have provided, it's not hard to see that the original Xbox would have been struggling to run this update, and the pack wouldn't work on all Xbox versions. The risk of splitting the Xbox user base likely played a key role into the decision. But be that as it may, welcome to the Minecraft community that's always been around and has known about this stuff for a long time, Microsoft. Thank you for finally listening. And with that, that wraps up this episode of the Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment, at least if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening via podcast, go and leave us a review out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening. Also, double check that you're subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. Also, if you guys are watching live currently on Mixer, we do this on the daily. We have a show that exists after this show. So if you want more details on that, head on over to mixer.com/technewsgadget. I'm your host, Taylor American. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and we'll see you on the flip side.